You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. This show, we are going to discuss the aspects of zoning. Zoning is a crucial aspect of urban planning and land use. And to help us discuss zoning, we have with us, returning as our guest, Steve Phillips, who is the chairperson of the Zoning Board of East Brunswick Township. Steve, welcome back to our show.
And
welcome.
Thanks again for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you back again this Sunday morning. So again, for the please give us your brief bio as it relates to your role as the chairperson of the EB Zoning Board.
Sure. Back in the 1990s, somebody suggested if I wanted to get involved, I could join the Zoning Board. And I said, what does that entail? And they said, oh, it's fences and decks. Don't worry about it. Fences and decks. That's what the Zoning Board does. Little did I know, 28 years later, I'd still be on the board. And the number of times we have fences and decks is almost none.
Right.
So the whatever they used to try to lure me in on the Zoning Board turns out to be not part of what the Zoning Board does, although it is.
They didn't tell you about the late nights and the you know, having the midnight coffee to keep going and all that. All those fun aspects, right?
That's correct. Yes. It's proven to be very enlightening.
Yes.
Sure. So to start with, let's talk about the purpose of what zoning is all about and the purpose of the zoning regulations, you know, how to explain for the general listeners how the town is zoned in different districts and the purpose behind having zoning to begin with.
Well, I certainly can speak somewhat to that, although the Zoning Board itself is a passive agency in that does not provide changes to the zoning or any kind of widespread zoning arrangements. It simply reacts to people who want to do something that does not comply with the existing zoning.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So we, you know, as much as we might not like the way the town has done it, which of course is immaterial, but we don't have any say in the way that the town does it. So as a result, people would come before the Zoning Board having gone to the building department, say, I want to put up a fence, a deck, a shed, I want to expand my driveway, whatever. And so they went before the building department, and then our in-house people looked and said, you need a variance. And so that's what would then put them on our agenda.
And they need a variance. The reason being they need a variance is because what they propose to do is not in accordance with the zoning regulations, because it either the setback or it infringes or violates some provision. And that's where the Zoning Board gets involved when there's something that somebody wants to have done that's different than what the regulations permit. Because if they want to do something that the regulations allow, they do not need the board's approval. They just need the building department to bless it.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Because we had our driveway expanded, and I applied for that, and I had to show the impervious calculation and show that it was still within the, you know, within the aspects of the requirements
of your zone,
of the zone, and it was based on the calculations. So we didn't have to go any further. We just had to have the permit done, you know, pay the permit, and then have the contract.
That's correct. So had you gone outside of those guidelines, then yes. Yeah. And it's based on the zone you're in. So like, for example, if it's an R3 zone, and that means three homes per acre as an average, there's a certain requirement for the number of square feet that you have to have that are pervious. In other words, water can go through it.
Right.
As opposed to impervious, which is like a driveway or your house itself.
Right. And that's exactly what we had to do. We had to calculate by adding this amount of driveway, you know, what's it going to affect the overall footprint? We had to provide the survey and then do like a calculation.
And different zones would have different thresholds. For example, if you've got like an R5 or an R6, which is a lot of more homes per acre, you know, you would not have as much latitude to do what you want. But at the same time, it's not as stringent on you as it would be if you had R1, which is an acre.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want somebody that has an acre to have 25% of their property impervious.
Right. They don't want to build
like
a big.
But if you only have 100 by 100, 25% of the property, you already got the house.
Gotcha. So it makes so the regulations are more lenient if you have a smaller property to begin with, because they have to be, otherwise it's not.
It's proportional. Let's put it that way. It's not lenient or difficult. It's just that's the way it would be. Yeah. So that's how that would run. But then you would have people who want to put in a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the town had regulations about the square footage that you're allowed to take, and then putting in pools now, they've reflected a change in the impervious surface to cover that. That's one of the changes that's come in the town in the last several years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So could you further explain that exactly
in other words, yeah. It used to be like 25% impervious.
Right.
Yes.
For property. Okay.
And don't hold me to the numbers.
Right. No, just rough.
Yeah,
just
roughly.
But now if you put in a pool and you extend beyond the 25% that we're using as an arbitrary number here, that may not require you to get a variance if it's a pool and there's other criteria that you need.
Because it's a pool.
Okay. Yeah. So they made it a little bit more flexible.
You may have to have some sort of a water retention system on your property.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dry wells,
etc. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I learned from you. When I was on the zoning board for 3 years, I learned a lot from Steve and the other board member.
Right.
Learned a lot. It's a lot of interesting cases. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And to start with, for our general listener base, again, there's different. I know you're on the board, so you're not commenting on, but the regulations are set up. So there's different classifications in any municipality. There's different residential classifications. There's highway commercial. There's industrial. Then those are all set up. I think that's all set up for the welfare and to promote orderly, promote health and welfare to ensure that the safety of the residents, prevent properties from having conflicting interests, and just a general habitability. I think that's the whole purpose behind the zoning regulations. And then you guys, your job is, I guess, to, you know, like you said, handle the variance requests from, and you handle residential, commercial, industrial, anything that falls outside the regulations.
Well, there is a master plan. The master plan is set up by the township council with and the mayor, and then it gets approved by the planning board for any changes and approval on the existing master plan.
Mm-hmm.
And once the master plan is approved, then it gets reviewed every so many years in order to see if it still is in keeping with trends and changes in situations that might arise in the town over the course of years. So the last time that East Brunswick had a master plan revision was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's still fairly
still
new.
Fresh.
And within that framework, like the HC, the highway commercial zone.
Right.
If they move a line or two because one area now is commercial zone and it wasn't before.
Okay.
Or something like that. And I'm not saying that that's specifically what happened.
But just as an example, what could happen.
But that's an example of what could happen. In the same sense, let's say they have areas where somebody comes in and wants to build cluster homes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going into another situation. If they average out to be R6, six homes per acre, they could put clumps of 10 to 12 together as long as they've got open space around it. Now, we're out of the area of the zoning board. That's part of the town master plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we adhere to the understanding of the master plan and deal with it accordingly based on each individual application, so that if somebody came along and there were 8 diners in a row, and they wanted to put a diner up, we're not there to make business decisions for them.
Yeah.
As long as it complies with the zoning, that's something that...
It's nothing to do with us. If they ask for a variance, then we can say, okay, wait, this spot here, how is that going to work? Is it in keeping with the other? What do you need? What are you looking for as far as a variance? And then they have to make the case. And it's not our decision whether or not it's a good business plan.
Right. Yeah. I know in the commercial aspect, you have to be very careful because there can be situations where you have a strip mall and it's approved zoning for 3 restaurants. But in reality, in practicality, you cannot have a 3rd restaurant because of the parking, because there's certain requirements. There's already 2 restaurants there. This was a real example. And the third space was suitable for a restaurant, but it was not, because based on the zoning in this particular township, there wasn't enough seating. You could literally have just one more table because the parking lot only had like 15 spots, and based on having two other restaurants. So you've got to be, so there's a lot of different complexities with the regulations. You know, you could think, oh, I'm in the clear because I meet zoning, but no, you're not, because you have to look at the use of the property. And if you change of use, it triggers a whole set of other parameters.
They change the use of one of the stores, and suddenly, instead of having, by their own experts' estimate, 5 customers per hour, and you wind up having 30 customers per hour, you don't have the parking for it.
Yeah. Correct. So it's very important that you have to have a thorough knowledge in, if you're a commercial agent or you're any, you know, lawyer in that field, of, you know, all the different, how the regulations tie in together. You know, you can't just assume, you know, it's look at the list and say, oh, it's zoned for a restaurant and, you know, you're home and clear, which may not be, or it's zoned for a supermarket. But if you change the use from of any location, you trigger, you know, a whole set
potentially
can trigger a whole different
potentially. So you could have existing stores and then they want to change one to be something that's going to have a much higher frequency of use.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then you have to look at whether or not the parking area is sufficient to be able to accept this new use.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. So it's very, so let's talk about some of the things that zoning, you know, that come to you for variances, like setbacks, height restrictions, building size ratio, or what are some of the, without any specific, you know, cases, but just type some examples of things that come before the zoning board.
Well, one of the ones that comes before the zoning board a lot is the unfortunate people who own a corner lot.
Okay. Yeah.
Because technically, whether or not you might recognize it that way, it's two front yards.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have both a front yard, which is where you might have your driveway, and the side, which is also on a street. So that's a front yard.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So then if somebody wants to have a 6-foot fence in their front yard, not in their front yard, but they don't see it as a front yard. It's a side
yard.
But in fact, it is the front yard.
Of that street, it's the front yard, sure. Yeah.
So you can't have 6-foot high fences along streets because it interferes with line sight, and it interferes with a number of other things. And you have to have a certain amount of distance between the sidewalks and the fence.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's some issues, so people have to come before us for a variance.
Right.
There is a way for them to avoid that, but most people don't want to have the fence halfway between the street and their house to put the fence up.
They don't want
because now you got this 6-foot fence halfway across your yard.
And you're losing usage of some of the yard space because the fence is too much indented from the sidewalk, so it would look silly that way.
Correct.
But they want the 6-foot high fence because of the privacy.
Yeah.
Right,
but they
have the misfortune, if you will, of being on a corner.
But they are allowed a fence, but the code, if you...
4 feet.
It's 4 feet, so the additional 2 feet is what's
See,
the,
I still remember.
An issue, right?
4 feet.
We taught you well.
Yes,
you can look at your notes
right
now because we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A 3-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. So, Steve, I have a question for you on the zoning regulations. I'm not sure if you know this. Do you know if the zoning regulations between the different townships are more or less the same? similar in terms of their definition of R1, R3, H highway commercial, HC1, HC2, et cetera?
Or is those designations are universal?
They are,
to the extent that HC is highway commercial.
Right.
Where a town decides to delineate that is entirely their own choice. That's within the framework of the town fathers to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of what R3 means?
Yes.
It means three houses per acre, regardless of wherever it might come up in a question.
Okay.
So it's statewide, in other words.
Statewide, the designation.
Yeah, I would guess it's probably even more than that. I mean, just the requirements for the various, and that's, although it's zoned that way, that's still part of the master plan.
Yeah.
Right.
That goes back to the master plan.
Right. And we're talking about variances. So we mentioned the last week's show that they look upon religious organizations with favor most townships. So if you have an R3 or area and somebody wants to put a religious house of worship on there, that would be something that would come before the zoning board as opposed to the planning board.
Probably. You know, there's some subtleties and nuances within the framework of each of the applications that may change that. But by and large, yes, they do come before the zoning board.
Yeah. And what would be some of the things that I guess the zoning board would look at? Like, how would that process work in a general term without getting,
if it's in a residential neighborhood, where are you going to park these people?
Right.
Parking.
You cannot expect you're going to fill the streets with cars.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. That's okay. So parking would be always something that would be considered, the extent of, I guess, privacy, right? Because even though it's a house of worship, you still want to have enough privacy between the house of worship and the neighbors and the community.
The trees and the lighting.
Yeah, there would be the lighting, right?
Yeah.
The usage hours, I guess, although that's probably more or less similar, it's not going to be used on a daily basis, but.
Well, so a lot of them have night meetings and weekends and so forth. So, yes, I mean, there is an interaction that's going to take place between the religious institution and the public that it abuts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And you have certain parts of East Brunswick where there's a mixed use. You have residential, you have commercial, you have houses of worship along, I'm thinking like Riders Lane. Those are different areas, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Some areas of communities are blended, right?
Well, the way that
that's the way the master,
it's also the way East Brunswick evolved.
Evolved, right.
You know, many of the things you're talking about and referencing probably go back to the right after World War II.
Uh-huh. Right.
I mean, realistically, there was somebody I met once who told me that he remembers when they paved Riders Lane.
Wow. Right, because it used to be one lane each way or a dirt road, right?
It was up till
the 40s or the 50s maybe, right? That was
I'll take your word for it.
During the time I was on the zoning board, I remembered one case in particular. That was someone tried to run R&B hotel there. Remember that time somebody tried to rent out the rooms, and then there was a neighbor, was a police officer down the street, and they thought something activity going on, and they came to the board. I remember that was a lot of people, they think they're gonna buy a house as investment, they can rent it out like B&B. As just most towns should be better check with the township. Because most township not allowed. So that I remember that.
In a residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
Theoretically, if you wanted to have it in a commercial neighborhood, I don't know how you would come about with those particular requirements. But then you have a different need. But you still need to get a variance probably for that.
Yes. I remember that case. Came to the zoning board. Yeah.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the farmland preservation and how that works. Is that something it's on the books and it's kind of preserved forever, or is there a holding
forever is a limited time. The sun will go out
eventually. Right. Yeah. I know. That's
forever is simply
a matter of
it's not going to happen very quickly.
It's not going to happen quickly, right? So whatever East Brunswick has designated as those areas, that's not something that
and
can be.
And that's not the zoning board again.
That's not the
master plan.
Master plan, right. Right. So that's that's pretty much off limits if anybody wants to, if any developer wants to even think about it, wouldn't get off the ground, right? Because that's
We'd never see it.
We'd never see it.
But you know, people always say, "How come they let this happen?" Mm-hmm. Famous right. line. How come we let this? We can't stop somebody from doing something. We can if it's legal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the meat
of
the
You may cold. Not like it, but I'm sorry. There's nothing. We can't keep it. You know, we can't stop them. And so where the zoning board comes in is that when somebody wants to do something, there's different levels of variance, and I don't think we want to get into it right now. Right. But there's C variances and D variance. Mm-hmm. D variance is a use variance.
Okay.
So if you have theoretically a car wash,
right,
and you want to change it to being a I'm trying to think of something significantly different from a car wash that's not allowed in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a D variance. It's a use variance.
Okay.
But conversely, if you have a house and you want to put up, you know, an addition that gets over 35 feet tall in a residential zone, that's a site variance.
Site because it's mm-hmm. building specific and not the use is a D use specific. Let's talk about that. So 35 feet, that's the height restriction, and I think that can differ from town to town.
I'm sure it
35
can.
And some are 32 from like, how do you guys look at like that? Are do you see those types of variances for homes or do that people are
not
trying
generally.
To? Not generally.
Not generally. Yeah. A lot of it, I guess, gets weeded out when people have things that they'd like to do and they go before the building department mm-hmm. and the building department tells them about all the requirements that they're going to need in order to make that happen. It usually sends them back to revising it so it's not as cumbersome for them to get approved.
Right, because with real estate now, it used to be 8-foot high ceilings was the norm, then 9-foot high ceilings, and now with this all the new construction now, Jane can comment best, and now 10-foot ceilings. But I'm thinking in my head, if you go 10-foot, 10-foot, and 10-foot, that's three levels. That's still 30 feet. Well, you need pitch for the roof, so...
question is the 32-35 feet is from where, including the basement or from the ground level?
From ground level.
Ken.
So you can still have a nice.
You
so
still
I don't
can
know why
have
you,
it.
Why you need much higher you than 35 seems.
Yeah.
Seems generous and enough.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, the roof is not from the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not from the...
No, it's halfway between the peak and the top floor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't...
So you think about it, if you have the basement, right? If you have like 10 feet, believe it or not, now new construction, we ask for 10 feet basement.
Wow.
nine or 10. Because if it's 9 feet to a basement, you after the deck, right, you finish, it's become 8. But if you have a 10-foot high basement...
It's still the grade.
It's 9.
You just have to dig deeper.
Yeah. But that's why I'm just wondering, was that a count, how that count? If it's from the ground, it doesn't impact. Because
it's from the grade.
Yeah.
It's from the grade up to the midpoint of the roof, or the halfway point between, I guess...
The midpoint of the roof.
Midpoint of the roof, right.
So that's still plenty.
That's why, like Steve said, there's very infrequently where mm-hmm. people... come with a variance for something like that, especially for residential.
You want a third floor, two levels more than enough.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that, too. I think in the planning, again, it's not the board's position to comment on it, but the reason is because you don't want somebody building a house 40 feet high. You're going to obstruct the view of the neighbors. So you have to conform
it's not in concurrence with the existing environment and development there.
Development there, yeah.
Yeah, 35 already, you can see that building far away.
Yeah. Any higher, absolutely. You'll be touching the heaven and the clouds, right?
Well, once again, as it was with the planning board, any application that gets to be on the zoning board and on our calendar, you have to send out a notice to people from 200 feet.
200 feet, 200 okay, feet. Certified mail notice, right. Yeah, so that's the whole point. So the public's participation is they come and I guess the board, they get to comment. You mentioned for the planning board, they get to question the witnesses. But for the zoning board, how does the public participation work?
Well, it's sort of the same thing. It's very complimentary in the same way. We allow the public to ask questions of witnesses if it's a complicated one, and then they're allowed at the end to just tell us why they like it or they don't like it. You know, but we try to avoid them giving their opinions when they're asking questions, because unfortunately, because we don't have a time limit, mm-hmm. you'd have people come up and talk and talk and talk. Mm-hmm. And then the next time you let them get up, they say exactly the same thing they said the last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the interest of trying to get it done quickly, not quickly, but effectively and efficiently, mm-hmm. we ask, if you don't like it, hold that to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, all we want to know is if you have specific questions of any of the applicant's witnesses, now is the time for you to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask questions of us. They can ask questions of the applicant. They can ask questions of his witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally the way that would work. And then we give at the very end, now that we've opened the floodgates, come up here mm-hmm. and tell us what you like and what you don't
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah, I have to say, as a East Brunswick resident, we're very, very grateful to have you to service the East Brunswick board for almost three decades, right?
Yeah, 20 years.
And I have to say, you are such a legendary. You really work hard. I mean, I was on the board only 3 years, right? You always visit the site. You always come here more than prepared.
Yeah, we remember one case. We'll tell you we're out of time. We'll tell you off the record. But remember one case where you drove to the site. He always drove to the site.
I mean, there's many. If we start to give examples, this show would be 24 hours
now. So the point is, you give so much of your time, not only on the board, but just reviewing the matters, preparing to be on the board. So
you can
evaluate something intelligently. So we want to thank you so much, Steve, for your community service and for coming on our show to share with us your thoughts on the zoning board process.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see everyone next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.